Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So finances are very important, and the importance of finances can be helpful to know at a young age. And that's where Intuit comes into play. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com to start living yours. That's Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card. It's time for the Sunday Sampler. Coming up on Four Things with Amy Brown, Amy talked with Ashley Waller, who is actually a good friend of Caitlin of mine. Or Caitlin and I, however you say that. She's a celebrity hairstylist. She's a TV personality. She's the wife to Jason Waller, who it's Jason from Laguna Beach in the Hills. And so they talk about reality TV. They talk about Jason and his experience with addiction. That's how Jason and I know each other. And then learning how to be a partner with someone in recovery. So hang out for that. On the Bobbycast, I sat down with one of my favorite new artists, Lauren Watkins. She grew up in Nashville, but she did not grow up in music in Nashville. So it's the double, because it's rare for an artist to grow up here. But if they do, it's like Mitchell Tenpenny, who kind of grew up in the industry, but she didn't do that. She's opening for Morgan Wallen on a stadium tour. We talk about that. Also, why it's hard to play in Nashville. And they say she has barstool charm, which is interesting. So we have a lot of stuff to get to. Let's start with that. Here is Lauren Watkins on this week's Bobbycast. I was reading an article about you, and they had said something about you. It was a weird term. It was called, like, barstool chic.
I know what you're thinking of, and I can't think of it.
It was, Mike, do you remember the term?
Barstool charm?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
You had barstool charm. And I didn't know whether...
I don't know what that means, if you're going to ask.
I don't know what it means either, and I could look at it in both ways. I think barstool charm, barstool would mean... one of us, normal,
yeah,
cool,
relatable,
but it also, yes, it also
probably
like,
means more that.
What did you read that? Have you seen people call you that? Or the
article? Yeah, oh, okay. No, I've seen it.
So what did you take that as? I wouldn't have said barstool charm, but I didn't know you. I still wouldn't say barstool charm.
I think a lot of my songs are set in a bar, and maybe I'm able to make it seem more charming than it really is. That's how I took it.
Good for you.
I romanticize things.
I would have found the super negative. Anything about me, I turned super negative. So, yeah, good for
not
you.
Not me. I was like, how can this be a good thing?
Well, you're like the heartbreak, for example. Mm-hmm. That is not a positive thing. You know, that's the whole, it's the name of the whole project there.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty vulnerable to even talk about heartbreak. I mean, a second ago, how hard, how easy was that? And then especially if people know you're singing about them.
Like how... wait, say that again.
This is multi-layered.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. If you're writing a song about having heartbreak,
yep,
in general, or you have a project,
uh-huh,
that's called Heartbreak.
Yeah.
That heartbreak had to come from root.
Yes.
So first of all, you have to talk about it. And that is like, here, I'm going to open my ribs up. I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
But then it's the person that maybe broke your heart also getting to do a victory lap because they get to hear you singing about it. Like that to me... my ego totally wouldn't allow that.
No, I get that. Yeah. And honestly, those are all thoughts that crossed my mind at some point, but just kind of went in one ear and out the other. Cause I was just like, whatever. These are things I got to get off my chest. And, yeah, but I also, the songs are probably about lots of different people, not just one.
Oh, I completely agree, but there's lot of different people then. It's like, she wrote the
song. Lots of people doing victory laps. Yes.
Or they're wrong, and they think it's about, it's not, and they're telling their friends.
Like, I kind of like that, though, because it's sort of like, I don't know. It's kind of funny if they think it's about them and it's really not.
See, I would be
your
so irritated. It's like, you're not even worth the song.
Huge.
Why do you think that's about you? See, that's why I wouldn't be good. No, there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't be good at songwriting, but that's the part where I would really struggle, was like to give somebody else like a little bit of shine where they were.
No, I totally get that. And you know, I guess what I'll say to that is my songs are for, they're more for the people that I'm singing to rather than the people I'm singing about. So those people can think whatever they think, but I just try not to care about it.
Have you written anything ever and then someone heard it and you guys weren't good and they heard it and they were like, you know what? That spoke to me. And then you were good again.
Like a guy?
Sure. It could even be a friend. Okay. like some dude.
I definitely did you just wrong. Burned bridges. Yes. If there was a bridge left, it was burned with the songs.
But you didn't burn it so bad it kind of rebuilt itself.
No.
Yeah, good for you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, good for you. What's the most unexpected place that you've played? Like difficult to play because people weren't even really paying attention.
Oh my gosh. That's happened so many times. You know, I'm going to say something that could be controversial. Nashville is tough to play.
Oh, hey, clip that mic.
I'm sure you can.
This is going to really be controversial. We'll get a lot of hits on that one.
That is Mark.
Yes.
I mean, I know you can probably like understand.
Nashville
what I
sucks
mean.
To play.
It sucks.
I'll say I hate playing shows here.
Yeah.
Because
it's tough.
I'm going to say a bunch of mean stuff, so then it doesn't make you look as
okay.
So
please.
I'll cover for you, but then you follow me.
Okay.
I hate playing shows in. I love the people that live in Nashville that are that come to my shows. I hate playing shows in Nashville because there are two things that happen. One, there's this like, all right, impress me expectation. Because I don't perform at all. I'm on the road all the time if I'm doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm finally doing a show here, it's people that just like see pictures on Instagram. Like, okay, well, let's see how good you really are.
Yeah.
That vibe exists, first of all.
For sure.
There are peers that finally want to come out and go like, all right, well, let's see what you got.
That competitiveness.
Yes. And then you want to hear something back from, and then it starts to be unhealthy. And then it's also like 10-hour meet and greets with everybody who you know and that live here and that want to come and see. So Nashville is the worst place to, I love Nashville and the people, but for the industry, it's hard because it's not just going to do a show for people that want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. It's also going to do a show for people that want you to prove you're worth the crap and worth.
Yeah.
And that to me is why it's hard for me here.
You said it best. I mean, that's everything I'm thinking you just said. And it's a shame. Like it hurts me as a native. Cause I mean, when I was growing up, like I said, I had no like foot in the industry. I didn't know that even existed. So when I was going to concerts, I was in the front row screaming my head off, not caring about who was there or whatever. I just wanted to be there. And yeah, it's tough. Now it does feel like everything you just said. It's a lot of people just trying to be too cool. And the thing is the people, this is funny, like the people who matter, and by matter, I just mean like kind of the big shots in the industry, like people who are really like, I don't know, the people that you want to impress, they're not really trying to be too cool. They're just there doing their job, like there to cheer you on. But it's the people that are like...
insecure.
Maybe
And I'm insecure, and I say that from an insecure place. I'm not insecure in that way.
Yeah.
But I'm insecure in a lot of ways where...
Me too.
It's definitely a place of, if somebody else roots for you, or somebody else says, wow, you're really good, that must mean to them that they're not. I struggle with the same thing, but in different ways.
Oh, same.
So me there too. Are probably peers of yours or any artist that's at a show and is a little bit jealous, but can't be healthy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nashville is hard.
It's hard. And I also think people like, even as simple as yelling out during a show, yelling and screaming, cheering, people don't want to do, they're scared. People are looking at them. Oh, who's in the room? Who's going to see me look stupid?
Yeah.
And a lot of my songwriter friends and I love to protest against that. And we'll go to our friend shows in town and just be the biggest fans, because that's what you want.
Absolutely.
I mean, you work so hard, you're on the road, and you get so excited to come home and play a show for your people, and then it's like that, and it's sort of sad. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK.
Mess up, roll things. Little food for your soul, baby. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, baby. Laugh a little more, baby. Tighten up your core, baby. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.
Hey, it's Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. And here's what we talked about this week on my podcast. What encouragement do you have for people that whatever the situation is, they're sort of living life like I'm just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Like everything's great right now. And I mean, I think that they're going to be sober this time or they're not going to relapse, but like they can't get over waiting for the next shoe to drop.
I think the biggest thing is it is absolutely impossible to struggle alone. Like you have got to find a support group or at least a person that you can speak in confidence to about what's going on. I think it's really important to vocalize and seek that professional help because being in that isolation alone and constantly thinking that things are going to change without having some sort of, not necessarily outside opinion, but I just feel like it's a really, really, really lonely place to be when you are in the depths of somebody struggling with addiction. And I think as soon as you can, tell somebody because your secrets make you so sick. And they can really hurt your life.
Did you have to do some sort of an intervention?
Oh, yeah. Sorts?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what did that process look like for you? Because I know for everybody, it's a little bit different. But if anybody's new to it, like you said, you'd never dealt with addiction before. And so because he had been there before, maybe he worked in that space, maybe he sort of knew who to call. But I can imagine if someone's never been through it at all whatsoever, it's like, wait, who do I even ask about where to start and how to start or do this whole intervention thing? Because you just see it on TV.
Yes.
And you see like, oh, do I call everybody and we gather together in the living room? But it's case by case on how 100%. It needs to be handled.
Yeah, I think everybody's situation is different. For us, it was like the moment when the vulnerability is there and the person is at their low. So a lot of times like there'll be these really big waves through addiction when people are struggling. And it's at that moment where they hit that low, where they're very vulnerable and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, that's the moment. That's the moment that you're like, we got to get everybody together. We got to send them off and get them to go. And that's just, it's a non-negotiable and they go. So for instance, when we had the intervention on my husband to send him to treatment, it was his parents. I contacted his parents immediately because they love him. They had been through this with him for so many years and understood kind of what he was going through. I don't even think they at the time really knew exactly who to call, but my husband did have a sponsor from previously being sober. And we had a lot of friends in the recovery industry because my husband had clearly worked in the recovery industry. And so we called his old sponsor. And so he had helped a lot facilitate everything.
What did the forgiveness process look like for you?
Therapy was really important. My husband and I went to couples therapy for literally every single week for a whole year. We also did individual therapy along with our meeting. So like AA, Al-Anon, Family Recovery Foundation. But it was a really long process because there was so much mistrust that had happened during that time and a lot of resentment. And it took me a lot of tools and actions. I think once there was more time of him being sober, it really helped just realize that things were changing. You know, the action was really big for me because the words really didn't matter at this point. And that's what made it really challenging. So once I saw that time was passing and the actions of his, I would say emotional maturity was changing, that's when I was like, okay, this is helping me so much. Just have forgiveness. And just, I think any sort of therapy is so beneficial in life, no matter what, because it helps so much. But couples therapy together too was really important for us. And it helped us a lot.
Do you feel like there were days that you definitely just did not want to be there or you were on like shut down? And it was like, well, this is like a huge waste of time. And then how would you pull yourself out of that?
It's so interesting because I feel like I never, ever, even through all of this and everything that we had ever been through, like the divorce word never hit my mind ever. Like I just was like, it's just a non-negotiable, like we're not getting divorced ever in our whole entire lives. Like you're going to just get better. Like we're just going to figure out ways to get you better. And then we're going to be together forever because I strongly believed so much that this man that I fell in love with was still there underneath all of this destruction and turmoil. So I don't know if I ever wasn't willing. I think at times I was more shut off because I was just exhausted than necessarily like I just was unhopeful, because I think the hope was always there. I never really gave up on him and my hope for him, which is good. I mean, a lot of people, I think in times they get to the point where like the hope just gets lost and then they just have no, that's it for them. But luckily I still always had that, which is, I think, what helped a lot with our relationship and what helps today, you know, is we want to be together forever. We want to be the best version of ourselves for each other. So that's why we work so hard at taking care of ourselves.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing some of that. Cause I know that it's sometimes probably difficult to even revisit, but I guess since you've made it part of your story, part of your mission, part of your, what does this make possible? Then it feels good to talk about it because it's giving purpose to what you went through.
Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dogs' water bowls, treats and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads, and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites. I'm working on it hard, like I'm investing a lot of time in trying to get quality sleep. Quality sleep is essential. I love my Sleep Number smart bed because I don't have to worry about that part. Because my Sleep Number smart bed is designed for, well, now my ever-evolving sleep needs as I'm trying to figure out what's happening with me physically. Like, I'm on a CPAP now. You can choose what's right for you and your partner. Because I'm talking about temperature, I'm talking about firmness, I'm talking about softness. Whatever it is, it's there for you. You can have different, and that saves a fight. There you go. You're welcome. So my Sleep Number setting is 30. My Sleep IQ score last night was 87. I mean, it's great for partners because, again, you always like, bed's too hot, room's too cold, whatever that is. J.D. Power ranked Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Let's do it live. We are the 1, 2, 3 sore losers.
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the west side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a white picket fence at the apartment complex. Soon I'm going to have 2.5 kids. And yes, sadly, I will die of a heart attack when I'm 72 years old. Here's a clip from the last podcast. If you're in Nashville, since it's not legal here, I think you can get in trouble at the airport. Whereas Vegas, if you get caught with gummies, they just throw them away. Case in point, guy at my bachelor party had gummies. They grabbed him out, put him in the receptacle.
At your bachelor party?
Yeah, you were there.
Don't remember that.
The one dude, he was random. I invited him at a party one time, and he came. His name slips my mind. It was 3 years ago.
It feels like a lot longer than that.
The dude that just like would go to bed at night and slept for 12 hours.
Oh, is that the one that you shared a hotel room with?
No
he actually stayed. So you're telling me the one that actually stayed at MGM Grand while you stayed at New York, or wherever the hell you stayed?
I stayed at Paris. He was kind of Jonathan's friend, but he was awesome. Just on the way out, didn't disguise the gummies. They pulled them right out, threw them away. But you don't get in trouble. That's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
States.
You guys, I was TSA pre-check. You guys weren't. Sorry, I didn't see that altercation. That's my bad.
He didn't really explain it to us well either. He just came over. He was so hungover and goes, yeah, all those gummies I bought, $100 worth, they just threw them away. And we said, no emotion? I'm too hungover. We get it.
I totally understand. But let me tell you, Ray.
Ray, a lot like us.
This is the best Friday. The last Friday. I mean,
we're ending the podcast.
No, I am so excited for Sunday because it's Selection Sunday. But there's only one problem. Things have changed in the landscape of college basketball where I don't have hope for a national championship. I don't have hope for a Kansas raising the national championship banner. So going into the tournament, I'm a little sad.
What are you, from Arkansas?
No, I just said Kansas. I said Kansas.
Right. They have reason to be sad. I don't even think they're going to get into the American tournament.
No. I understand Kansas is going to be in the tournament, but I have no, like...
Did you guys make it?
Yeah, we made the tournament. No problem.
The Vols make it?
Vols are going to be maybe a number one seed.
Vandy?
Vandy fired their coach.
So they didn't make it. Stack?
Stack is out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he had a hell of a press conference, man.
He and Justin saw him.
Where'd you see him?
In person, when we went to the game 3 years ago.
I saw him. I was eating at Chopped, which is like a salad place. I don't know.
Well, why don't you just chop me a salad? What a restaurant.
It's just like it's like a Chipotle, but for salads.
Were there any dudes in there?
There was actually 3 dudes working there.
They all loved me.
So I'm sitting out on the patio and I'm eating my Chopped salad.
I would have drove by and saw you do it on a veered off the road and laughing so hard.
I was eating, I think it was a Fiesta salad. So it had like avocado, some...
Put some meat in there. Sir, we don't have any meat.
Grilled corn. No, it's not a vegetarian place. It's called a salad. Have you ever had a salad?
Yeah.
Okay, they have chicken and shrimp, and they have all sorts of stuff you can put in a salad.
My buddy Danny in Miami eats salads on South Beach.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just not manly, man. You're in pork missile country. If you ain't sucking off a hot dog on a Friday, man, what are you doing?
But this wasn't a Friday. It was a Wednesday.
If you ain't at the beach, where the fuck you are?
So I'm sitting on the patio, and you can see through the windows down the sidewalk.
Bathroom?
No. Bathroom is not see-through.
Ray, I can see into the women's restroom.
No. And I see this really tall human walking. And it's Jerry Stackhouse.
Stack.
And
he could stack your ass up back in the day, man. Detroit. And that's when that city had no violence.
I was probably peak violence. And I was like, man, I got to go say what up. And he's walking down the sidewalk.
Jerry.
I start jumping up. My wife's, where are you going? I was like, Stack. Stackhouse. Stack. And this is probably a month ago. And he's beelines it.
Knew he was getting fired.
Does not say a word. Stack! Stack it up. Go through the restaurant, out the front door. Stack! Stack!
Nobody's ever called him that before.
Jerry! And he goes around the corner, and his big old truck is parked along the curb. He jumps right in, closes the door.
Did you go up to the vehicle?
No. No, I'm not that crazy. Yeah. But
it's all funny until they jump in their car.
Once they get in their car, it's like, okay, too far. I don't want to be like seem like a crazy person. And it took him about 2 seconds to start that truck, and he was out. I mean, that was my one interaction with Jerry Stackhouse when he was the coach of Vanderbilt basketball.
Athletes in town that we've seen him in their truck, Jerry Stackhouse, Taylor Lewan. Only two. Damn,
that's it.
Thought that'd be a better segment.
DeJulio.
And that was athletes nope, we've nope. seen
DeJulio.
In town. He had a truck?
No, he was in an SUV, and he was being driven. He had a driver.
To the Walgreens.
It was an Uber. It was a Walgreens. It's getting icy hot.
Where's Julio?
And an ankle bandage. I told you. His ankle was bad. I told you guys.
Hey, we got another Julio. It's going to be here a year.
Calvin. He'll be here for more than a year. He signed like a 4-year deal.
That guy's going to gamble it away.
Oh,
the Julio. Welcome to Titans Up, baby. Tighten up. Welcome to Nashville, baby.
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby from Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and here is a clip from this week's episode.
Are you someone, though, when you start something and you give your heart, you finish it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just, like, be like, oh, crap. Like, no. This is a lot.
No. Yeah.
Reverse.
Yeah.
You're like, no. Forward. No.
Once a minute, and I just got to get out
trait.
Of it.
What a trait. What a team player you are. Ian is lucky to have you. I mean, you are a force of nature, Caroline.
Thank you. Like I said, going a little crazy, but it's fine.
So let's talk about when y'all fell in love.
Yeah.
The good stuff. So all of a sudden, you're like, oh, Ian Munsick, I know him. I got him his first gig. And then Travis Tritt and his family are like, you need to meet this guy. You're like, know him. And now you see him. You realize he's got this image. He's got this deep connection to Wyoming. You see the branding. It's all like clear to you. But it's not necessarily the right time in country music for him to make his big splash because it was bro country. So what do you do? What do y'all do? And then where does the love happen?
I mean, with him... we did this thing called Minute Mondays, and he would film. Ian can play pretty much every instrument. And we would film these Minute Mondays with a guy named Gray Wood, and he would just do covers and would play like multiple instruments, but it would just be him or multiples of him. And we would post those every Monday, and we just started like building his like Instagram. TikTok was not a thing.
Okay, so Instagram was going.
Streaming was just like starting. So we were just trying to build it.
Independently.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything was independent for a while.
And so you guys were content creators in the very beginning.
Yeah.
You're like content, music.
Before content, really music. Content, like.
Was key.
Yeah. I think maybe Vine was out or something.
Which died on the Vine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, yeah, we just went on trying to build his awareness and, like, getting people to notice him. And then eventually, you know, his streaming numbers got big enough, and Warner and other labels started reaching out and said, you know, hey, who is this guy that's streaming just as well as anybody else?
So what are good streaming numbers to make a label turn their head? Like, what are streaming, for everyone listening, streaming is like when you, I'm sure a lot of people know this now, but it's like when you go and you just listen to Spotify, or you go and you listen to iTunes or whatever, it's online, and it's just like it counts. You get all these streams, like every time you hear a song you get another stream. So like when you get a ton of streams, people are like, who is this?
Dude,
I'm sure everyone knows what streaming is. I just talked to them like they're a bunch of idiots. Y'all all know what streaming is. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'm trying to even think what it would have been in 2017. Not what it is now. Now people are getting like billions, you know, it's crazy. But I mean,
but labels used to not even want artists to stream. Like, that's how crazy it was. It was so new that they're like, don't stream because that takes away from like your album sales or whatever. Yep. So it's like, it's been a new phenomenon that Ian probably was at the very beginning of.
Yeah, he was for sure. I would say maybe, you know, I know independently we got our first few million streams. So in 2017, that's a big pretty deal. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's with no, it's not like we were on any DSP, like, playlisting or anything. That's all organic. So that's the one thing about Ian is he's really, everything has been grassroots and organic, you know.
Sorry. No, you're good.
Sorry. and so we've just really been proud of that growth. Because
and
it's
you know
real.
He's got real fans.
It's real. Like, they show up and buy tickets and they buy merch and they engage and it's not fake. Like, it's real. So that's been very valuable to us.
Okay, so you are putting stuff out. You're still just managing. Mm-hmm. No, like, I want to kiss your face yet.
No. Okay. I'm trying to think.
When were you like, I got to just throw you up against the wall?
Yeah. On the end of 2017. So maybe like 6-7 months in, I think we were just around each other so much. I think we were in like California or something. And I don't know. It just kind of
make out happen? Or the full Monty?
I feel like it was definitely slower at first. Okay. But
I mean, it's not like y'all didn't know each other.
Yeah. No, and that was the thing. We were just around each other all the time. But, you know, at the same time, it felt like very like taboo, but it was kind of exciting. But it's like, ugh, nobody's going to take us seriously. If like, one, I think I was like 24 at the time. Who's going to take me seriously? One, as a manager, you know, this kid that has, you know, nothing really behind him, let alone us, you know, oh, my manager's my girlfriend, you know? So yeah,
y'all kept you on the DL. Was that kind of fun to be secret?
Yeah. I feel like it was a little stressful because I literally didn't tell my friends. I told nobody. And
which, by the way, you and Lainey Wilson, BFF. Were y'all BFF before she became Lainey Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait to hear about that. Yeah. That's so fun.
Yeah. But we kept on the DL, didn't tell my friends. I'm sure they could have assumed whatever, but, you know, nobody really asked or said anything. So we just kept doing our thing. And then, you know, one thing led to another and we got pregnant and
you really can't keep it under locks anymore.
So we were like,
trying to get pregnant or accident?
No.
Okay. Crawford's like, I'm ready.
Yes.
I got two cool people right here that I need to be my parents.
He's like, I'm ready to make my appearance and there's nothing you can do about it.
Coming in hot.
Yeah. So we, got pregnant and, I think Lainey was the first person I called to tell her that I was pregnant.
Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dog's water bowls, treats and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Maybe you've never tried therapy. Maybe you felt like, I don't know, therapy's not for me because I don't know anything about it. Like, I felt that because that's how I felt too. I just kind of stumbled into it once. And I was like, let me see what this is all about. And I could tell you that for me, as someone who, you know, if it's trust issues, if it's whatever trauma that we have that we've lived through, that we're here now, like sometimes we just have to identify that. And it starts to explain why we react to certain things the way we do. Therapy is awesome for that. And it could be your social battery. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you need to recharge. Maybe it's a bit of self-awareness that you need. Again, for me, therapy has been a game changer. So I'm going to tell you, I love therapy. It is hard, but it is worth it. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. You fill out this brief questionnaire. You'll get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you've never done therapy, or if you have, it's amazing because of how easy it is to do. Just turn your camera on or don't. There's also a messaging option there. You know, find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bobby today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Bobby.
Hey, it's Mike D, and this week on Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, I went through Forbes' latest report on the top 10 highest earning actors from the last year. I break down exactly how an actor makes money, whether it's a movie that goes into theaters or goes straight to streaming. So if you want to know more about the money side of movies, this is a great episode to check out. Here's just a little of me breaking down some of the highest earners in Hollywood. At number 10, with a gross income of $28 million, taking home, at the end of the day, $24 million, it is Denzel Washington. Last year, he put out the third installment of The Equalizer, which has been a pretty average film series overall. Each one of those movies has crossed the $190 million mark at the box office. And the real reason it has done that, because of Denzel Washington. Without his name attached to that movie, nobody would really care about it. And in addition to that movie last year, why he continues to remain in the top 10 is because of his catalog, all the royalties he is getting from all of his back years of work. That is really so important to an actor, is that library of movies that you build, really in anything. I will even say that in podcasting, it comes down to the amount of work you can do and just have like this vast portfolio of all these episodes, all these movies. That is really where you start to see money grow in entertainment. So it is really precious. That is also why you see a lot of fights over rights to things and rights to episodes. It's because that is where the money will be there for you always. That is also why you see musicians selling their catalogs in order to have guaranteed money every year, because they can sell their catalog and know they're going to have that set amount of money for the rest of their life. And Denzel Washington has been doing it for over 40 years now. He's 69 years old.
he can really do any movie that he wants, and it's probably going to make a pretty good amount of money at the box office. I kind of wish he would go in a bit of a different direction and get back to those really big dramatic roles that he would do all the time and the ones that he is known for. I think the last movie I really loved from him was from 2016 called Fences, which was an adaptation of a play. And I thought that really showed the true power of Denzel Washington, the reason everybody fell in love with him and the reason he is a movie star. I wish he would go back to doing movies like that. But at number 10 is Denzel Washington. At number 9, with a gross income of $45 million, and on the list listed at $38 million, is Ben Affleck. Again, this is only including his money that he has made with acting. Out of everybody on this list, this is the most surprising to me. I do not think he is worth $38 million a year, especially when you look at the movies he did last year. The 51-year-old starred and directed Air, which is a great movie. I love this movie. But financially, it didn't really cross a big threshold of making money at the box office. I know it wasn't even supposed to come out in theaters, but Amazon decided to move forward and give it a theatrical release, and it ended up making $90 million at the box office before just straight going over to Amazon Prime Video. But the other movie he put out, Hypnotic, was so bad and such a bomb. One of the worst bombs in the last decade. That movie cost $65 million to make and only made $16.3 at the box office. But I guess he still got paid because he ain't making no money on the back end of that movie. But he has been around for a long time, enough to be in Dunkin' commercials and probably made a lot of money off of that, even though that amount is not included on this list. At number 9 is Ben Affleck. So there is a tie at number 8. Two people come in with $41 million. The first one is Jason Statham, who had a gross of $48 million before taking home $41 million. Statham is just a quietly dominant actor. In the last year, he has been in Fast X, Meg 2, The Trench, and The Expendables 4. And as of the recording of this podcast, he is the star of the highest grossing movie so far in 2024, The Beekeeper. So he will probably be back on this list next year. He is the quintessential action star right now. I think he is to the point that if you are a diehard fan of action, you will probably go watch every single movie that Jason Statham is in. And he's 56 years old and has been doing this so well now for the last 20 years. It is honestly surprising to me how successful he has been, kind of being typecast in the same role over and over again. As much as I don't want to give him the credit for being a great actor, he can crush me with his wallet. And Jason Statham comes in at number 7, tied with Leonardo DiCaprio, who also had a gross of $48 million and took home $41 million to put him tied at 7, 8. I don't know why they put 2 sevens on this list. The crazy thing here is Leonardo DiCaprio made a majority of this money on one movie. He was only in Killers of the Flower Moon last year, which he earned a reported $40 million just for that one movie. So it kind of shows you how much money people can make, at least him in particular, on the back end from his library of work, which I wonder about that. I feel like he should make more because he's been in Titanic alone, which I feel like he will continue to get checks for the rest of his life. If he ever has kids, they will be getting checks probably for the rest of their life. But at $48 million gross and a 41 take home, that is incredible for one movie. And Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the handful of actors that could do something like that. Even though he was snubbed an Oscar nomination for that movie, I don't really think he's hurting because he can be so selective just doing one movie a year, if that, and do movies that he really cares about, work with directors that he really has a great relationship with. And obviously him doing a Scorsese movie is probably a no-brainer. So I think at this point, even though he made $40 million off one movie, I almost think he is at a point where the money doesn't really matter anymore. And I also heard Bradley Cooper talking about this recently when he was talking about he maybe only has 3 or 4 movies left in him, because to be an actor at that level, it takes so much time to focus on one project. It is 4 to 5 years of your life from the moment you start developing a movie, get attached to it, and it finally comes out, that he thinks that he maybe has 4 or 5 left, maybe 3 or 4, that he thinks he only has a handful of movies left in him. I think that is the same case with Leonardo DiCaprio, who, is later in his acting career, but by no means is anywhere done. He could continue acting into his 70s and 80s. Just look at Robert De Niro. But I think he has to be more selective on how he uses his time. He is obviously going to do movies now that are either going to make a lot of money at the box office, therefore earning him more money, or really, I think he is just interested in doing movies that are going to warrant an Oscar nomination. So tied at number 7, Leonardo DiCaprio and Jason Statham with $41 million.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sunday Sampler. Check out any of the podcasts that you missed. Maybe subscribe. The Bobbycast, Four Things with Amy Brown, Sore Losers, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Some new podcasts to come as well we're very excited about. Subscribe if you would like. It would help us. Rate and review, that would really help us. I know you don't often do that. I don't do that very often. But if you get a wild hair and you want to go rate and review like the Bobbycast or Four Things, that would be awesome. All right, you guys, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.